The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 3, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hatkikari, recorded on June 8th, 2008, in New Gokula, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text Number 3, Remembrance of Lord Krishna, the chapter title. Sakatang sevaya toshyo kalena jarasangata prishto vartang prati bhruyad bartu padavanusmaran. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the Savior of the whole universe. Uddhava thus served the Lord continually from childhood. And in his old age, that attitude of service never slackened. As soon as he was asked about the message of the Lord, he at once remembered all about him. Purport. Transcendental service to the Lord is not mundane. The service attitude of the devotee gradually increases and never becomes slackened. Generally, in old age, a person is allowed retirement from mundane service. But in the transcendental service of the Lord, there is no retirement at all. On the contrary, the service attitude increases more and more with the progress of life. In the transcendental service, there is no satiation, and therefore there is no retirement. Materially, when a man becomes tired by rendering service in his physical body, he is allowed retirement. But in the transcendental service, there is no feeling of fatigue, because it is spiritual service and it is not on the bodily plane. Service on the bodily plane dwindles as the body grows older. But the spirit is never old, and therefore on the spiritual plane the service never becomes tiresome. Uddhava undoubtedly became old, but that does not mean that his spirit became old. His service attitude matured on the transcendental plane, and therefore, as soon as he was questioned by Vidura about Lord Krishna, he at once remembered his Lord by reference to the context and forgot himself on the physical plane. That is the sign of pure devotional service to the Lord, as will be explained later on, Lakshanang Bhakti Yogasya, etc., in Lord Kapila's instructions to his mother, Devahuti.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamala Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
This is a pretty amazing verse in purport. Pretty amazing. In this material world, everybody gets worn out. Actually, they work you and they work you and they work you till there's nothing left. You don't even have any power to enjoy your senses anymore, practically. And then they let you retire, you see. You become useless. They just squeeze every drop of energy out of you for many decades of slave labor in the corporate marketplace, you see. But Krishna consciousness is completely different. The difference is, the more you spend energy for Krishna, the more you become energized. That's the difference. In the material world, the more you spend your energy, the more you become worn out. This is the amazing nature of Krishna consciousness. It is transcendental. So if you're looking for that activity in which you can invest your energy and get more energy and more energy and more energy and more energy, you see, then you need to take to the path of Krishna consciousness. Seriously. Put your energy, invest your energy in Krishna's service. If you do so, I absolutely guarantee you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. The more you put your energy into Krishna's service, instead of being some worn-out old senior citizen hobbling around with a cane or a wheelchair, you see, you can become an energetic spiritual revolutionary up to the last minute, you see, to your last dying breath, pushing forward this movement with great enthusiasm, determination, and patience. What could be a more exciting life than this? Compared to just being worked to death by some corporation who could care less about you. You're just a machine as far as they're concerned. Really. They'll dump you in a minute if they're not making a profit off of you. Spending all your life to serve such a cruel master and have nothing left at the end except a worn out old body with no energy to do anything except sit around and lament about your lost youth. This is an intelligent thing, Krishna consciousness. It's the really smart thing to do with your life. To become, just imagine, the more you, where do you see anything like that in this material world? Just like if you have a bank account, right? The more you spend the money, the more the bank account just goes down, down, down. But imagine a bank account, every time you spend money, you spend $1, then $10 appears in your account. That'd be a pretty amazing bank account. Spend $1 million and $10 million all of a sudden is there in your bank account. That's Krishna consciousness, you see. Whatever energy you invest in Krishna's service, you get that much more energy. And then when you invest that, you get more energy. You invest that, you get more energy. It just goes on increasing, 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 increasing. We see the living proof in Srila Prabhupada. Here he was in a 70-year-old man, 80-year-old man, taking these morning walks, his 20-year-old disciples could hardly keep up with him. You see? Just somehow they had to keep up with Prabhupada. He's walking so fast, just you see. Prabhupada confirms it in his purport. He says an 80-year-old man can, if he's Krishna conscious, he can work with the energy of a young man. He said, I will never grow old. Actually, in the final days in Vrindavan, when he was totally sick and he was leaving his body, he said, now I am old. But just see, he had the energy of a young man up until the last few months of his life. Until the last few months. For 80 years he had the energy of a young man, pushing forward, inspiring thousands of youth in their 20s to give their whole life for Lord Chaitanya, you see. So, Prabhupada wants us to follow in his footsteps. He wants us to be energetic, just as he was energetic for pushing forward this movement and advancing ourselves on the pathway of bhakti. He wants us to have that same energy and enthusiasm that he did. Prabhupada very mercifully enthused me when I was a young 22-year-old kid. He ordered me to be enthusiastic, always be enthusiastic. He told me in one letter that continue enthusiastically as you are doing and surely Krishna will bless you. And I thought, I think I'll obey this order of my spiritual master to always be enthusiastic. And sure enough, it works. Prabhupada's orders work. When I follow the order of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, to always be enthusiastic and that Krishna will bless me, I found that yes, it was true. Even if there's no reason to be enthusiastic, even if all around me, you know, depressing things are going on, sometimes it happens in this world. Everything is going bad all around you, you see. Just like when Prabhupada left, there were so many calamities in the movement. The things that could discourage you about being a member of this movement. But I didn't let them discourage me because Prabhupada ordered me to always remain enthusiastic. And Krishna has continued to bless me day by day by day as I follow Prabhupada's order to always be enthusiastic. And somehow or another, that enthusiasm just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. As pointed out here by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, it is transcendental. There is no feeling of fatigue. Of course, we have to take some rest. That's all right. Whatever is needed to keep your body energized. But not that we sleep the whole day. It's like last night, I invited everybody for Mangal Arati. And there was a small handful of us there today. It was wonderful. We were totally enlivened and inspired to greet the Lord for his auspicious Arati. So there's no reason to sleep that much, you know. Sleep should be minimized, actually. Prabhupada actually told us, he said, everything is kirtan. Kirtan is kirtan, you know, preaching is kirtan, writing is kirtan, reading is kirtan. He said even taking prasadam is kirtan. But he said everything is kirtan except for sleeping. That is waste. So minimize sleep, especially when you're on retreat for spiritual cultivation. We have another shot tomorrow at Mangal Arati, another chance. I've seen it's to make these sort of announcements in the class and make the point it's effective. I was in Russia recently and I was doing a program there and all these nice enthusiastic Russian devotees, they came and hardly any of them had tilaka. But anyway, I made a big point about tilak. And the next day, everybody had tilak. Huh? I told them how without tilak is like being Naga Baba, you know. You know, Naga Baba, naked sadhus who go naked. No, tilak is like being Naga Baba. Because this is for a Vaishnava, this is the dress. You're fully dressed when you have tilak, you see. Without tilak, you're not fully dressed. If you're a Vaishnava and you don't have tilak, you're not fully dressed. So who would want to be not properly dressed? You see, it's embarrassing. So I made this point about the tilak, and so I'm thinking now, if I make a point about Mangal Arati, how auspicious it is. You may think, well, I need to sleep, but I can guarantee you, if you'll get up for Mangal Arati tomorrow, you'll have more energy throughout the day than you would if you'd sleeped in. You have more energy, you see, because this brings you to the transcendental platform, beyond your body. So your body doesn't need that much sleep, really. Especially when you're out here in the wonderful stress-free atmosphere of New Gokula, you see. Doesn't need that much sleep. Maybe when you're in the corporate world and they're squeezing you to death, you know, maybe more sleep. But here, it's a wonderful sattvic atmosphere. Just get your energy from Krishna, you see. Get energized by the holy name. Get energized by the association of devotees. Get energized by the Bhagavatam, you see. Get your energy from these things. You won't need as much sleep as you think you need. If you learn how to plug in and get your energy from Krishna and elevate yourself to the spirit, get elevated to the spiritual platform by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you see. So this is a very wonderful purport. This is one of the most sublime, especially for people who are aging. I mean, I can't imagine a more wonderful. I just hit 60, so I can't imagine a more wonderful purport for persons who are aging. This is such a great purport. But it's true. But at every age, you see. At every age, sometimes. Or one time someone criticized Srila Prabhupada, why are you giving sannyas to all these young men? Sannyas is for the later age, when you're old. The old age sannyas is given. Why all these young men, you're giving them sannyas? And Prabhupada, how did he say? He was making the point that, what does old age mean? It means you're about to die, you see. So who can say they're not about to die? Therefore, I'm giving them sannyas. So if we take advantage of this wonderful mercy, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nashta Praishva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. By regularly attending the class on the Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the person whose very life is Srimad Bhagavatam, you see. Great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. You see. Of course, that's another verse. Sanskrit. But that all that is inauspicious within the heart becomes, by hearing the Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious within the heart becomes destroyed almost to nil, and thus loving service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, becomes established as what? An irrevocable fact. Sometimes devotees wonder, what does this mean, destroyed almost to nil? I thought this destroyed it completely to nil. So what does it mean in the Bhagavatam? And it says, destroyed almost to nil. What that means is, by hearing the Bhagavatam, the first step is you come to sattva guna. At sattva guna, it's destroyed almost to nil. And then, as you continue to hear the Bhagavatam, then you go to the point where it becomes, your bhakti becomes irrevocable fact. That means nil. Your material desires are completely nullified. And it becomes irrevocable fact. So this verse discusses two levels. First you come to sattva gun, and then you go to the purely transcendental platform where loving service is irrevocably established on the Shuddha sattva platform. So both stages will come if you hear this Bhagavatam. So we're very happy you have all come to hear the Bhagavatam. By hearing the Bhagavatam from the proper source, now that's very important also. You have to hear from the pure Sampradaya, because we are presenting the message as it's coming from Srila Prabhupada. This is called pure Sampradayic hearing of the message of Bhagavatam. The full potency of the Bhagavatam comes when it is presented according to Sampradaya. Now there are professional reciters of the Bhagavatam in India. They are very fond of doing Bhagavat Saptaha, and they simply focus on Krishna kissing the gopis. And everyone comes and they're entertained by all these pastimes of Krishna embracing and kissing the gopi girls. I was in India many years ago in 1982, and my wonderful godbrother, His Holiness Giriraj Swami, he took me out with him preaching one day in Bombay, and we called it Bombay in those days. Now Mumbai. But we went preaching all around Bombay, and he took me to one of these big Bhagavat Saptahas was going on. We went in the afternoon to see the setup. And it was quite amazing. There was a big stage. I would say the asana, the Vyasasana, was as high as the ceiling, about that high. And there was a ladder in the back with the Guru Maharaj, so-called Guru Maharaj. He would climb up this ladder, you see, and sit on this huge Vyasasana, way up, you know, halfway to the stars, you know. And and then there was also asanas on either side where all these Brahmins would sit. And one Brahmin would be chanting first canto, another one second canto. They're on the background, they're like bumblebees, you know, a beehive. They have all the different cantos going on simultaneously in the background, because you're supposed to recite the whole Bhagavatam. And so they would cover that up by having all these Brahmins in the background just mumbling, you know, all these Sanskrit verses at the same time, while the big so-called guru sitting on the, you know, on the huge so-called Vyasasana would be talking about Krishna kissing the gopis, you see, and just focusing on that, on the Rasa Lila. So we should not, this sort of Bhagavatam hearing will not liberate one from this material existence. But if you hear from someone who is presenting the pure message as it's coming in the Sampradaya, then you, simply by hearing that Bhagavatam, you become liberated. There's a very nice mantra to prove this point or confirm this point. Sampradaya vihina ye mantra shte nishpalamata. Whatever mantra you have received, whatever mantra you're hearing, whatever sound vibration you're hearing, Vedic sound vibration, if it is not coming in sampradaya, nishpal, no fruit. You see, it gives no fruit. But if you actually hear the Shabda Brahma, the transcendental sound vibration, coming down through the authorized aseptic succession, you see, then that liberates you. That hearing that sound vibration liberates you, actually. Just by hearing it, you become liberated. And the trick is now how to stay liberated, you see. How do you remain plugged in? You're plugged into the liberated platform. As soon as you hear the transcendental sound vibration from the authorized sampradaya, you are plugged in at that second to the liberation platform. Now, how do you stay plugged in? That we are teaching. That's why we have a retreat. We're teaching you how to remain plugged in. That's why I invited you all out here to New Gokula, to learn how to stay plugged in, not just for the weekend, but for your whole life. Completely plugged into the liberated platform. So as we go through our different seminars on this ultimate self-realization system, Krishna Bhakti, we hope that you will become very, very inspired to take up the practice of Krishna Bhakti very seriously when you go back to your homes. We really, really hope that you'll become inspired, because this will... If you do so, this will be the most wonderful turning point in your entire existence of millions and millions of lifetimes. This retreat will be the most wonderful turning point in your millions and millions of years of wandering in the cycle of birth and death. So kindly hear with rapt attention. Ask whatever questions you may have. Don't feel embarrassed. We want you to ask questions so we can clear away all the doubts you may have in your mind, so that you can become completely, totally, 100% convinced that Krishna is indeed the source of all existence and that you are His eternal servant. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that your whole life should be simply lived for His pleasure in all times, all places, and all circumstances, with every thought, with every word, and with every deed. So, that being said, now I can ask if there's any questions. Okay. All right. She yielded to you, even though her hand went up first.
Actually, after this retreat, I mean, for me personally, I'm now like feeling very charged up for, like, I have to follow the spiritual life, very take the spiritual life very seriously. But then when I go back, I mean, go back to the office, and then obviously my colleagues who are atheist and non-devotee. You know, I have to associate with them whole day and 4 days a week. And, you know, and that really changes my mood or the, I mean, I go back to, again to that mundane world. And then my this spiritual charge now, which I have built up again.
All right, I understand. So what's the question?
So, like, how would I...
How do you maintain it?
That.
All right. It's a very simple formula. Stop being in the mood of being a follower. You have to be in the mood of being a leader. That's a, see, our principle is to give up the association of non-devotees. There's a shloka, asat sangha tyag. One should completely give up the association of non-devotees. Yet we send our preachers out to associate with non-devotees all day long. So what is the principle here? You see, we have, it's like we have some devotees here, this nice married couple, Rupa Raghunath Prabhu and Krishna Rupa. They go out all day and associate with non-devotees, distribute books. So the idea is that don't be the follower. You be in the mood of being their leader. You take the mood of being a leader in the society by your example, by your words whenever it's possible. But especially if you're in the corporate situation, you just by your example of being a saintly person, being a Krishna conscious person. Don't, in other words, don't think you have to follow them and be like them. Think that they have to learn from you how to be like you. You have to be convinced that they should be following what you're doing. Even if you don't preach to them openly, which is not so practical in the workplace, but just your whole mood should be like them. These people should be, they should learn to be following me. I should be the leader here. I'm the real leader here because I'm the only one who's Krishna conscious in this whole corporation. They should follow me. You should have that mood, that feeling about yourself. And if you have that mood and that feeling, they won't drag you down anymore. You'll start to find ways to influence them by bringing cookies, prasadam cookies, and putting them in the break room regularly. And you become the talk of the whole office. When's she bringing some more of those great cookies? You know. In this way, you develop a, you know, your own style, your own mood, that everyone really likes it. And they look up to you and appreciate you. That's how to do it.
That's what I started, like in the office, I started distributing the vegetarian dishes books. Yeah, I started distributing vegetarian dishes, recipe book.
Well, I know I was working out in corporate America for a while, supporting our preaching center. And I've already told many, some of you have already heard this, but many of you may have heard, but some of you may not have heard. So, you know, we don't normally wear tilak when we go to work in America, you know. But I thought one day, I'm going to wear tilak. So I was doing telesales, you know, selling things on the telephone. And the day I wore the tilak, I mean, I really made a lot of, I made the company a lot of money and did a lot of sales. And the supervisor was so happy. He said, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but you must wear it every day. So, you know, we should be in the mood of being a leader, you see. You're meant to be a leader. The Brahman, see, we are training up a class of Brahmins. Brahmins are the spiritual leaders. Prabhupada said, Brahman, he is the spiritual master of the whole human society. That means if all of us in the whole movement somehow went back to Godhead and you were the only devotee left, you would be responsible to lead the entire world. You would be the world, the spiritual master of the whole planet. You understand? So you have to think you have a very big responsibility to lead these people by your example and by your words and by your thoughts also. You see, that you take that mood. Don't be, in other words, you shouldn't be laughing at their jokes. They should be laughing at your jokes, even to that level, you know. They should learn to appreciate your sense of humor. Not that you have to learn how to laugh with, you know, with their gross, lusty sense of humor. You know what I mean? So any other questions?
I wanted to say something, but just, first of all, I just thought in reference to what Prabhupada was saying, some people feel like, I can't be a leader. by being shy and humble. Like, you don't want to be like those Western ladies. You don't want to be like that. So it's even better.
Well, I know my god sister, Mula Vakriti, Mataji, she went. She had a meeting with Prabhupada in Honolulu. She was an airport book distributor. She wanted to know, and Prabhupada, what did he say? A lion in the chase and a lamb at home. So a woman can also be aggressive when it comes to preaching. She doesn't. When it comes to preaching, she's not a woman anymore, you know? A preacher is a preacher. It's divinely beyond the bodily conception. So when it comes to preaching, a woman can be just as aggressive as, sometimes women can be more aggressive than men when it comes to preaching. So Prabhupada told Mula Pakiti Devi Dasi, he said, I was not invited to come to your country. I came in as an aggressor. So there's nothing saying a woman can't be aggressive when it comes to preaching and pushing forward this movement. Prabhupada encouraged her to be aggressive, but he said, but a lamb at home. You see, when you're with the devotees, then you know, we're practically, when we're here together practicing Vedic culture, then we take that, the role within the, you know, within the cultural situation. When we're out trying to spread this movement, there's, you know, it's completely beyond the body, actually. Any other questions? Yes?
Which came first, Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam? And why was the need for Bhagavatam when Bhagavad Gita answers all your questions?
So, that's a very interesting question. What is the need of Bhagavatam if Bhagavad Gita answers all the questions? Actually, according to statements in Bhagavad Gita, all you need is Bhagavad Gita. So, what is Bhagavad Gita? That is the words of Krishna. But what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? He says, there's no one more dear to me than the preacher. So, Krishna, what is Bhagavatam? It's the words of the preachers. So just as Bhagavad Gita is very dear because it's the word of Krishna, and Krishna says there's no one more dear than the preachers, therefore, Bhagavatam is also dear. It's confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Because it is the preaching of his devotees. When the devotees glorify Krishna, that is Bhagavatam. You see? So it is confirmed by Bhagavad Gita that Bhagavatam is nothing, there's nothing more dear than the Bhagavatam. So either way, whether you come in this door or that door, however you come to the Bhagavad Gita door or the Bhagavatam door, either way you're going to end up in Krishna Loka, you see. And by comparative study of the subject matter, Bhagavad Gita is the bachelor's degree. Bhagavatam is the master's degree. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is the PhD level. So we encourage everyone to become fixed up in Bhagavad Gita. But what was the book that Prabhupada published in India? He published the Bhagavatam. He brought the Bhagavatam with him. So whether you... Either way, if you master the Bhagavatam or you master the Gita, either way you're perfect. If you master both of them, then you become a very powerful preacher of Krishna consciousness. Because the Bhagavatam, one is the angle of Krishna speaking, the other is the angle of devotees speaking about Krishna. The more angles of vision you can have on the science of bhakti, the more you become mature and realized in Krishna bhakti. So I recommend that you first of all study very carefully, cover to cover, the entire Bhagavad Gita. Have you done that?
Yeah, I've read.
The whole thing, cover to cover, every page, you've done that? All right. Now, do you have a copy at home?
Yeah.
All right. So you read that very carefully, systematically, page by page by page, start from the beginning and go all the way to the end. And once you've done that, then you should get the Bhagavatam and do the same thing with the Bhagavatam. That's my instruction to you. If you follow that pathway, then the relationship between these two manifestations of Krishna's mercy will become crystal clear. You will understand perfectly well why there is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. All you have to do is study them very well, and you'll understand completely. It won't be confusing. If you don't study them and you speculate why Bhagavatam, why Bhagavad Gita, and you don't read either of them in depth, you're using that confusion as an excuse not to study either of them in depth. And actually study both of them in depth. And then you'll understand why both of them are there and how they both serve a purpose. The Bhagavad Gita is the doorway to the Bhagavatam. Actually. It's like here, there's a doorway in this temple room. Bhagavad Gita is the doorway. Once you come through the doorway of Bhagavad Gita, then you can really, you can enter fully into Bhagavatam. Okay? Next question. Yeah.
Maharaj, yesterday you were talking about a war against Maya, and sometimes we face setbacks in that, and how do we bounce back?
It's very simple. Sometimes in our war against Maya, we lose battles, you see. But look at any country that won a war, just like World War II, the Allies defeated Hitler and his allies. Did they win every war? I mean, every battle? Did the Allies win every battle in their war against Hitler? No. So, it's a fact that sometimes on the pathway of fighting against the material nature to become Krishna conscious, we lose some battles. But as long as you win the war, you're okay. If you remain determined and you actually utilize every battle that you lose to understand why you lost that battle, and see, don't take it in a negative way. If you experience a setback on your pathway of Krishna bhakti, you should carefully analyze and understand why that setback happened to you. In this way, by utilizing that setback and learning from it, and benefiting from it, you can become stronger in your pathway. See, don't let a setback discourage you. Say, I'm going to take advantage of this setback. See how I can utilize it to become even stronger. And if you take everything in that very positive way, then the number of setbacks that you have will go down, become less and less and less and less and less, until finally there's no more setbacks, and you become a highly advanced devotee. For a neophyte devotee, setbacks are natural. It's a natural thing. Someday you have great rounds, someday it's a struggle just to finish your rounds. You practically don't even want to chant. You don't have any taste. But if you just keep pushing on, I'm determined that I'm going to achieve, become perfect in Krishna consciousness. Keep pushing, 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 pushing. Then you will become expert, practitioner of Krishna consciousness. And the setbacks will go away. Questions more? Yeah?
Just an extension of that question. Some days in Krishna consciousness I feel very enthusiastic, very energetic.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some other days I have to really search for that enthusiasm. Things like they go very, very normal.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that change?
That's because you're still under the influence of the modes of nature. You see? The modes of nature are competing for supremacy. Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, Tamaguna. Whenever you're in sattva-guna, then there's an enthusiasm for chanting, enthusiasm for hearing, enthusiasm for puja, for service, for being clean and regulated. These are sattvic qualities. But when rajas and tamas get in the way, then you lose them. So you simply have to come to the transcendental platform where the lower modes, tamaguna, rajaguna, they lose their potency, they fade away. You just have to really strive to come to the transcendental platform. That's why we encourage every devotee to take diksha, initiation. Because that initiation process brings you quickly to the transcendental platform. If you follow the vows you took at the time of diksha, that will bring you very quickly to the transcendental platform. Because you fully surrender to the spiritual master, you do everything to please him, and you're under his direction. It forces you to come to the transcendental platform very quickly. Just like if I want to become an engineer, I think, well, I'll just sit at home and read engineering books. So how well will I discipline myself to do that? But if I enroll in engineering in the university and I'm forced, I have this assignment, this lecture, these tests, then it pushes me to become a qualified engineer very quickly, you see. If I just did it on my own, it may take you know, 20 years and I still wouldn't be very qualified. But as soon as you register in the university, you're on the fast track, you see. So Diksha is like that. Now you're on the fast track. You have to chant your rounds. The spiritual master wants to know, what are you doing to advance in Krishna consciousness? What are you doing to serve the temple? What are you doing to push forward the movement? He wants to know. He wants reports. What are you doing? Are you just sleeping? You have that pressure, you see. So that's very good. By taking the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, getting initiated, this then empowers you, just like it would to be an engineering student to get your degree. It empowers you to become, now you're formally registered in Hare Krishna University, you see. Now you really have to get serious about advancing every day. Every students, they're very serious. They have to get to every classes on time, the papers on time. They're working very hard. All hours of the night, they're in the library trying to, you know, maybe taking a little nap on the library couch and getting up and studying again. Pushing to get that degree, you see. So in the same way, by taking initiation, now you're in a situation where you know you're going to be plugged in to doing those things which are beneficial for your becoming transcendentally situated. Prabhupada actually said that deathlessness, immortality begins at the time of initiation. From the moment of usap diksha, now you have entered into immortality, deathlessness. So that's the realm where you become free from this up and down thing that happens by a neophyte who's still in the modes of nature. You see, by taking shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. And that's why Rupa Goswami says, Adao Garashvayam, the very first principle. Adao means the beginning. Adao Garashvayam, the very first principle of Krishna consciousness is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. First thing, Adao. You see, that's what Rupa Goswami said. The first thing you should do on the pathway is take shelter of a bona fide guru. Questions more? Yeah?
Maharaj, I read in Bhagavad Gita, I don't know whether my understanding is correct to read that phrase. It says that even sun is moving, but as per science it says sun is stationary. So is that correct understanding to read that actually sun is moving? It doesn't say it rotates, but it says it's moving.
Is the sun moving or is the sun stationary? If you're on an airplane which is flying at what 600 miles an hour, and you're sitting in a stationary in the seat, are you moving or are you sitting still? These things are relative. You see, relative to the airplane, you're sitting still, but actually you're moving very fast through the sky. So these things are just relative things; they're not that significant. This whole universe is probably moving in outer space, but to speak, you know. And we have to broaden our vision, that's all. If somebody's vision is just within the airplane, let's say, oh, that person isn't moving. He's been sitting still in this chair for the last 2 hours. He's not moving at all. He hasn't gone anywhere. But actually he's moved all the way from, you know, from Perth to Sydney. Next question. Yeah.
Another one. Just want to understand, is there any mystery behind Krishna's three-bandfold? Krishna's three-bandfold when he's...
The three-vanga, yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Is there any mystery behind that? Like, what's the...
Why does Krishna bend himself like them?
Yes.
Well, why does Krishna do anything? If we understand that, then we can understand why he stands like that in such a wonderful, beautiful form. Why he stands in that wonderful way, you see. Actually, Krishna is like a famous actor in a famous movie, you see. Everything he does is he has a style which sets him apart from everyone else, you see. Krishna has many, many reasons for doing what he's doing. Everything is for his own pleasure and satisfaction, he is acting like that. And the other thing is he wants to attract especially the gopis, you see, especially Radharani. He stands in such a way that Radharani will become completely enchanted by seeing him, you see. So actually Krishna, he's doing everything to attract the hearts of his devotees. Don't you like that tree bunga? It's so beautiful, huh? So attractive. You can say, why does he especially play that fifth note in the flute? Why not the fourth note? You see? Well, everything Krishna is doing is part of his perfect lila to relish his own pastime and also attract us, his devotees, back to him, you see. He's trying to enchant us by his amazing transcendental pastimes, so we will lose our interest in this material world. And that's why he comes here also, to display them. He must allure us back to his transcendental kingdom. This is a technique, you see. Flying in the cultural, he comes in along with all of his associates of the spiritual world to show what it's like in Goloka Vrindavan. So we all want to go there and get our tickets to fly back to Goloka Vrindavan, you see, on the airplane, Hare Krishna airplane. Questions more? Yeah?
Is there any instance in any Vedic literature wherein some devotee who was once in Vaikuntha, he actually goes to Goloka Vrindavan?
Is there any, can that be done?
Yes.
Prabhupada, many devotees don't know this. I even had a sannyasi telling me it was absolutely untrue, but actually I heard it on the tape, and I know exactly how to find it. I have it marked in the Veda base. Prabhupada specifically states that there's full freedom and you can change your rasa if you want in the spiritual world. Nobody's stuck in a Vaikuntha planet not being allowed to Goloka Vrindavan. There's no such thing as restrictions in the spiritual world. Well, sorry, you only have a visa for Vaikuntha. you're not allowed to Goloka. You don't have a visa for Goloka. No. Once you enter the spiritual world, there's full freedom. According to your nature, according to how you're most enlivened, that's where you end up. The flute actually thinks he's better off than the gopis. That's why he's a flute. If he thought he would be better off as a gopi, he would be a gopi. But he thinks, oh, those gopis, they only get Krishna's lips every now and then. I get his lips all the time, you see. So, whatever, every devotee who's serving in the spiritual world, he's there serving in that way because that's what enlivens him the most. That's what thrills him and excites him the very most, to do that particular service. And generally they don't change rasa because that they're convinced this is the best rasa. This is absolutely the best rasa. I have the best relationship. And Krishna individually reciprocates with each and every devotee. Just like the queens of Dwarka, he manifested a separate form for each queen. And every queen thought, oh, those poor other queens, he's always coming to my house every night, see, my palace. So actually Krishna manifests with each and every devotee. You have your own personal Krishna who's reciprocating with you. According to your heart's desire, the way that you want to serve him. He manifests for each and every devotee. So every devotee owns Krishna. Totally owns Krishna. That's the amazing thing about the spiritual world. So if you want to know what it's like, there's only one thing you can really do, and that is, of course, you have to go there. It's inconceivable. Achintya lila. We cannot understand how Krishna can do all of these things. The only way to really know is to go. So Prabhupada is giving us a wonderful process where we can all go there, you see. So let us follow these wonderful teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And then we can all enter into those transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Question? So you're thinking that those who are serving Narayan in Vaikuntha, they are not covered by Yoga Maya. So why are they remaining? They would have knowledge rasa gyan. So why they're staying there, serving in that way, why don't you go and ask them? On your way to Golok, you can stop off and ask them, you want to come along with me? Why are you staying here with Narayan? Why don't you come with me? I'm in Lord Chaitanya's movement. We're all going, Lord Chaitanya, you know, Lord Chaitanya is having his lila also in Goloka Vrindavan. You look on the cover of the Bhagavatam, the Lord Chaitanya lila is going on. And this is an amazing thing. We know from Gaura Desha Deepika. There's a book that talks about, it's the who's who of Chaitanya Leela. All the Chaitanya Leela people, they're all Krishna Leela people in a dual role. So, it's quite conceivable that since all the Leelavadis, you know, all the participants in Chaitanya's Leela were all in Krishna's Leela also, it's quite conceivable that that's true of every single member of Goloka Vrindavan, that they can be in dual Leelas. Can be in Chaitanya Leela and Krishna Leela at the same time. And the Prabhupada said there's full freedom, that confirms it. That you could actually have two different identities in the spiritual world going on simultaneously in Chaitanya Leela and Krishna Leela. So, I mean, we really have to go there. We have no idea what it's going to be like, but we really need to go there and check it out, you know. I guarantee you, we won't want to come back to Sydney. Unless Krishna wants you to come for the sake of making a spiritual revolution. Like Prabhupada didn't want to come. Prabhupada did not want to come to this material world. But Krishna told him, don't worry, just go there and write those books. I'll take care of everything. So, anyway, any other questions? Yes?
Mm-hmm. Those who come to the platform of Ragamog, mm-hmm. they go to Goloka.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that
where is that stated?
I'll have to look it up. I thought it was in the Nectar Devotion.
Okay.
And so, does that mean unless we come to the spontaneous platform, then we'll go to Vaikuntha?
Unless we reach the
spontaneous platform of Ragamog, mm-hmm.
All right.
Then we'll go to Vaikuntha.
All right. So, what's the question?
I'm asking. We're in this sanctum where the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he has his pastimes in Goloka, but unless we come to the platform of Raga Marg, we're still on the platform of Vaidhi Marg,
mm-hmm.
then we won't go to Goloka.
Well, that means, therefore, according to everything that you've stated, that means if we stick to the path that Prabhupada has given us, we'll all achieve Raga Marg. That's a simple thing. What is the difficulty? We have to be patient, that's all. Right now we're battling it out and you know, Vairi Bhakti. But if we patiently stick to this process, that day will come, we'll all become Raganugis, you know, achieve that Raga Mark. Just stick with it. Stick it out through thick and thin. Doing what pleases Srila Prabhupada and your spiritual master, stick it out. And I guarantee you, you'll be a Ragamargi before you know it. But don't prematurely try to think, oh, this, now I'm a Ragamargi, then you'll be finished. Even the Ragamargi, he acts as on the Vaidhi platform to show example for others. You see, don't become Prakriti Sahaja. That will ruin everything. Next question. Yeah.
Chance have we got of remembering Krishna? Like at the moment, maybe we read Krishna book before bed 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and that's it. So it can be hard for the mind to all along be thinking of Krishna's personality.
Yeah.
So we can remember.
How to remember Krishna? You're asking then how to remember the person Krishna more?
And not only that, but also is that what we're meant to do? Like, so we should be all the time thinking Krishna.
are, of course, yes, we are meant to remember the person Krishna. That is a fact. That's why we have the deities. We have to understand the person Krishna is right here. We serve him as a person. We feed him, we dress him, we bathe him. The deity worship is very, very important for our Krishna consciousness because that gives us the understanding that Krishna is a person. So why did Prabhupada so much emphasize first-class deity worship? Because we need to get off this impersonal platform and understand that Krishna is a person. I was with Srila Prabhupada in Atlanta, and I was standing just on the right side. I was on Prabhupada's right side. I got as close as I could. There was 300 of us in the temple room, but I camped out right close to Prabhupada. And he was looking at Gaura-Nitai, the big deities there at that time. They still are the main deities, I think. Big, huge Gaura-Nitai deities. And Prabhupada looked at the deities and he said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared in Atlanta. And I was thinking, well, I think my vision is quite different than Prabhupada's. You see, I'm seeing some deities there, some brass deities. Oh, they're nice brass deities. Prabhupada's looking there. He's actually seeing Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, you see. So we have to try to understand the vision of the pure devotee. And we have to try to see everything through his eyes, you see. We have to learn how to, it's called, we have a term, Shastra Chakshus, to see through the eyes of Scripture. But we are also our program is also Prabhupada Chakshus, to see everything how Prabhupada sees it. You understand? So Prabhupada, he was saying, yes, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they have appeared in Atlanta. So we have to see that the Supreme Personality of God has actually come here. Radha Gokulananda, Krishna himself, the source of all existence, along with the dearmost of all of his devotees, Srimati Radharani, they have appeared, our father and mother. Prabhupada called Mother Radharani, he said one time. We should pray, my dear Mother Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. This is how we can pray to Radharani. So I recommend that everyone should learn how to pray directly to the deities and ask for their blessings. You see, that you can become Krishna conscious. Don't treat the deities like some, oh, it's a nice doll, nice statue. No, here is Krishna himself, your eternal Lord and Master, mercifully appearing before you. Now beg him. You should, in your own words, in your own heart, you should pray every day to the deities to help you to become perfect in Krishna consciousness, free from the anartas. You should be begging and pleading with Krishna and Mother and with Father Krishna and Mother Radharani, you see, to save you from the impersonal trap of seeing everything and just, you know, there's just philosophy, there's no persons there. It's just philosophy. That's impersonalism. The Mayavadis are very fond of philosophy, Vedanta Sutra, you see. They can go on talking for hours, philosophy, philosophy, philosophy. And we are very expert in philosophy. We're more expert than the Mayavadis. By the grace of our acharyas, we are more expert in philosophy. But our philosophy is to connect with the person. Our whole philosophy is simply for that purpose. How to connect with the person who is standing here blessing us with his darshan. That is our philosophy. How to connect with that person. So, use the philosophy for what it's meant to be used for. To reconnect ourselves and the entire planet with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Okay?
I guess what I was wondering though is not just to recognize the deity as a person, but that shouldn't we be learning Krishna's pastimes and constantly retelling them in our mind? Because otherwise you look at him, okay, that's Krishna, but you don't know anything about him. And I'm just saying, in our daily schedule, we might only make 5 minutes for telling Krishna's pastimes, like Krishna killed Trinavada demon, Krishna killed, you know.
Everything about, yes, of course. Yeah, the name, fame, we should become totally immersed in the name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, philosophy, and dham of Krishna. Yes, 24 hours a day, that's of him. His name, his fame, his forms, his pastimes, his entourage, his paraphernalia. We should see everything in relation with Krishna and understand everything about Krishna. The beautiful thing about Krishna is every aspect of him is absolute. Let's say somebody is focusing on going deeper into the name. The name, within the name itself, Krishna, all the lila is also within the name. So however you approach Krishna, someone may be inspired to do first-class deity worship. Someone may be inclined, however you're inspired to serve Krishna, go deep, 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 and you'll find everything within that service. The philosophy, the pastimes, everything is there. If you're inspired to go deep, 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 especially focus on the pastimes, you'll find everything is there also. The philosophy is there, the form of Krishna, the name. These things are all absolute. So however you feel most inspired, and we do encourage everyone to become more knowledgeable. That's why everyone should have a copy of the Krishna book, and everyone should read the entire Krishna book again and again and again and again. Yes? That's right. The unlimited pastimes of Krishna are all present within his name. That's right. Then all the leelas, even those that aren't written in the scriptures, can be revealed to you eventually. That's a bit. Everything. Within the Hare Krishna mantra, it's all there. And that's why the name is especially recommended. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, we gave them. Because within the name, everything is there. But because we're so fortunate that all these wonderful pastimes are revealed to us, we should also engage in Lila Smaranam, remembering these wonderful pastimes. But the immediate result of remembering the pastimes, it makes you become a virtual Brijavasi just by remembering the Leelas, because that's what the Brijavasis do. They're totally absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. He's seeing them, talking about them, remembering them. The cowherd boys would come home every day from the forest, and they just completely goggled-eyed and amazed. They would say, Mataji, Mataji, this big demon came today to the forest, and Krishna killed the demon. It was so amazing. And they go, oh yeah, these children make up all these stories, you know. Yeah, we know these children. They make up these stories about Krishna. But the children were just completely amazed. Oh, what Krishna did. Oh, it was amazing how he killed this big demon. This big snake came and we all walked into his mouth. And then he swallowed us up. And then Krishna came in and blew the snake apart and we got out and... I mean, they're just completely, you know, enthralled. And then after the Agasura, you know, I mean, after the Kaliya, after the Kaliya was subdued and sent away to Fiji, all the Brijavasis were now heading back from the bank of the Jamuna, and they were there in the forest, and all of a sudden this huge forest all... Everyone's there. The cows are there, the calves, the cowherd men, the cowherd women, the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls. The whole Brijavasi community is all there with Krishna coming back from the Jamuna. And then this huge forest fire comes to devour all of them. What they can do, they're surrounded by this fire. They're going to be burned to death. But they're just going, Krishna, Krishna. And Krishna just swallows up the whole forest fire. You see? So these are very nice things. Remember these pastimes. Because right now we're surrounded by a blazing forest fire known as the material world. You see? It's like a devouring forest fire. But Krishna can immediately swallow the whole thing up and bring Vedic culture to this planet. We just have to be ready to surrender. That's all. This whole planet can become Vedic culture again. It's predicted for 10,000 years it'll happen. So when it will happen? When we're really ready to live that life of pure Vedic culture as an ISKCON movement. When we're actually ready to live it. Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Das Brahmachari, before he was a sannyasi, he said, Krishna can give you all of America within 1 minute. What you will do with it? So, if we can dive deeply into remembering these pastimes of Krishna, and this very, very eager to remember all these wonderful pastimes, and Krishna can actually reveal himself and do some more pastimes for us right now. You know, the first, that Gaurpurnima, you know the first Gaurpurnima festival that was held in Bengal? You know what happened? Lord Chaitanya had already departed. The Panchatattva were all gone. They'd all left this world. And they're having a big fired-up kirtan for the Gaurpurnima festival. And guess what happened? The Panchatattva came in the kirtan. All five of the Panchatattva, they were right there in the kirtan dancing with the devotees. Do you think it can't happen now? If our devotion becomes as intense as those devotees, Naratam, Janavamata, if our consciousness become as intensely absorbed in the meditation on Krishna's name and his form and his pastimes, if we can develop that same intensity that they had at the first Gaurpurnima festival, then the Panchatattva, they will come in our kirtan. And they'll be dancing with us in the kirtan. We'll be able to see how the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya is dancing, and Lord Nityananda, Sri Adaita Gadadhar Shivas. We can have the pastimes happening right here in our own kirtans. We just have to dive deep, 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 as they did at that first Gaurpurnima festival, into that desire to be fully absorbed in pure Krishna bhakti. Any other questions? Yes. Well, this is great. This husband and wife are really inquisitive here. This is real grihastha life, you see. Eager for Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, I can't remember exactly where, maybe 11th chapter by Arjuna, he says to Krishna that the whole world becomes enchanted or attracted by your holy name.
Yeah.
On hearing your holy name. Well, we may think, how is that so? We go out and Harinam Sankirtan and so many people say...
But you're forgetting the second half of the verse. The second half of the verse, O Rishikesha, the whole world becomes ecstatic upon hearing your name, except for the demons who go running here and there. We see that at our party. They go, ah. So, what does that say then? What does that really mean? The whole world, how can Krishna say the whole world is attracted to Krishna consciousness, except for the demons? That means you're not really part of the world unless you're Krishna conscious. You're not really part of the world. You're kind of like out there in the ozone somewhere, you know. You're out there somewhere in some state of limbo. You're not really part of the world unless you're Krishna conscious. You're not with it. You're walking dead. You're not really a living person if you're not Krishna conscious, actually. That's why Krishna can say, the whole world becomes attracted. Those who aren't attracted, they're not really part of the world. They're dead. They're dead people. That's the answer. So our program is to bring the dead people back to life by giving them a book, letting them hear the kirtan, giving them prasad, inviting them to a retreat. No offense, you know. It's done out of love. So anyway... Questions more? Wow, this is really great here. We're actually a half an hour over time. This is breakfast time. This is actually the real breakfast. Now, we'll stop it here because when it is breakfast time, it's going to mess up our schedule. I mean, the thing is that Krishna consciousness is beyond time and space. That's why it's so easy to forget about the time sometimes. When you really dive deep into the Krishna Gita, you know, you forget everything. Pariksha Maharaj did it. For 7 days, he didn't even get up to go to the bathroom. He just sat there for 7 days and heard about Krishna. So it's really, really powerful. Once you dive deep into Krishna Gitara, you forget everything else because it takes you to that realm beyond time and space. So anyway, we'll come back down to time and space and plug into our schedule now. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.